Good evening, Pod Pals. In absence of tonight's familiar programming, we will be reading an excerpt from William Peter Blatty's haunting novel, The Exorcist. The priest held her haunted gaze and then turned with a frown to the bedroom door. And as he grasped the doorknob, the sounds from within abruptly ceased. In the ticking silence, Karis hesitated, then slowly entered the room. Almost flinching, backward at the pungent stench of mouldering excrement that hit his face and nostrils like a palpable blast.
Dan, can I just step in? How long is this going on? I've been waiting for the introduction.
Right. So I just want to say how long you'd let us go.
No, well, I was like, I'll let him, he knows what he's doing.
None of that whatsoever. I mean,
knows what he's doing. But I heard you go, chapter four. And I was just like, wait a minute.
No, welcome to Pod Pals, everybody. I do hope that scary introduction did something for you. Join us again for Pod Pals next week when we will be rereading all 640 pages of the Old Testament.
Right, well, we've got 3 minutes of this episode left, Dan. Do you want to maybe mention The Simpsons?
The what? The Exorcist? Yes, I've got a copy here. I'll just flick to... No. Joking aside, yes, welcome to everybody to Pod Pals. Do excuse my... Why am I still talking like the narrator from The Exorcist? I can't turn it off. I'm not very well. Can't turn it off. Do excuse my little experiment with Anthe. I just wanted to say... I mean, did you enjoy the audiobook? I'd get in touch with Amazon, do Audible, couldn't I?
I just didn't know where you were going with it, to be honest. I was just thinking, he'll run out of steam. He'll not go on forever. But he did.
That's if you let us read all 400 pages. <at the end. laughs> Because I was gonna start from the like chapter one and just like say how much I could get in, and like just every episode just read like another chapter.
But then it reminded us of the bit on Krusty Gets Busted, where Sideshow Bob is like, and join us tomorrow night, we'll be reading chapter 35 of The Man in the Iron Mask.
Yes, I'm a titan. yes. I think it's South Park who the voice I was based on, when I think they're doing like it's the Great Expectations episode of South Park, and going, hello, I'm a British person. That was the voice I was going for.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Malcolm McDowell, the guy who plays Alex in Clockwork Orange.
Oh, God, right. I'll get back to The Exorcist then, should I?
Yes, there's no time. We're coming back to Anthony. Just made the damn Exorcist.
Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome to Series 2, Episode 18, Brush with Greatness, directed by Jim Reardon, written by Brian Robertson, airing on the 11th of April, 1991. We all know this episode, don't we, Anthony?
Yes, and I, for one, can't wait for this episode, because as everybody is about to painstakingly find out, I am a massive Beatles fanboy.
Yes, you are. Annoyingly so. Anth has chirped on about the Beatles since we were, what, 12, 13-year-old when we started arguing about
them? Yeah. I just want Dan to get into music, so I feel like the Beatles would be a good entry point, but he's like, nope.
I like Yellow Submarine. That counts for anything.
But that shit, Dan. Like, do you know what I mean? No wonder you don't like the Beatles.
Do you want us to listen to music or not?
I don't know what I want from you anymore, Dan. Quite frankly, I wash my hands of you. I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
Ah, Ken, he's reading The Exorcist. Oh, dear. So this episode, obviously, it's synonymous for having good old Ringo Starr in it, isn't it?
Yep, who we'll all know as the voice of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yes, that's true, actually. Yeah, it's a fun fact. I mean, you stole my thunder.
There's a fun fact gone already.
There will be no fun
fact number two, he was in the Beatles.
There'll be no more fun facts. Goodbye. should we get into the mod? Do you want your Simpsons question?
Yes, go on.
That wasn't an answer. Do you want fun facts or the Simpsons question?
Yeah, if you want.
I'll just read The Exorcist some more.
Please no. I'll have me fun. I'll have me fun question. I'll have me question, please, Dan.
Okay, right. Your question this week, Anthony, is why did you shoot John Lennon?
Well, I'd been reading this book, and it was Catcher in the Rye, and there was just something about it that just, you know, people can have the theories on what they think that book's about, but personally, I just really think it's about shooting John Lennon, and I will not be told otherwise.
I'd say I think that's a fair answer. The real Simpsons question is, out of the sort of musical guest stars they've had on, I presume you're going to say Ringo Starr, but if it wasn't Ringo, who is your favourite musical guest star?
To be honest, there's a really good episode. It's not in like the golden era, but there was a really good episode where Homer goes to like rock and roll camp, and yeah, it's got like Mick Jagger, like Lenny Kravitz and that. I think Tom Petty's in it. Like, that's really good. But
he gets dropped off at like, it's the Beatles.
Yeah, automatically that George Harrison one, just because I think it's a good gag where he's like, "Hi, Homer, I'm George Harrison. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Where did you get that brownie? Over there, there's a big table of them. What a nice fella."
Yeah, it's very funny. It's very good, though. Very good. For me, straight away, I go to U2, and that's not because I like U2, but it's because Trash of the Titans is my favourite episode.
Yeah.
And the garbage man can with the whole, the garbage man, the very friendly folk that tell you when your ass is shut.
Don't you want to do that bit again, Dan? I'm afraid Daniel's had a drink tonight. So,
so there's loads of good lines where Homer sneaks at the back, like, "Potato Man, where the hell have you been?" "Excuse me, this is a restricted area." "Oh, take a hike, Kojak." Boots on chair. There's so many good lines in that episode.
I'll tell you what that gag's just reminded me of. It's a similar gag, is when Homer goes to college and he gets the nerds expelled, and then they go outside, and within 2 seconds of being outside, Snake comes around the corner and he's like, "Wallet, Inspector." And they give him a wallet, he runs away, and Homer's watching. That's not the wallet, Inspector. Like, Homer thinks there is a wallet inspector somewhere, but that's just not him.
Like indicating Homer has been robbed by somebody claiming to be a wallet inspector before. Right, that. Can I just mention my last little bit from Trash of the Titans, which I really like, just because I want to get it in there. You know, when Homer's arguing with Rhea Patterson about the garbage collection, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And he's rattling the bird's cage. He's like, "Hey, leave the bird alone." And then Homer's like, "Oh, you regret this, Patterson." And he walks out the office when he shakes the bird's cage one more time.
He runs back in, gives it one more shake. It's so petty, man.
That's funny. Very funny. Oh, God. Like, let's move on to some fun facts, because I'm aware I'm already running well over on time. And I would like
We've wasted 40 minutes on The Exorcist. So.
I would like to get another chapter in before we close. This is Ringo Starr's guest appearance of himself. I've already mentioned earlier that we have George Harrison, who went on to appear. And Paul McCartney also appeared in later seasons with his famously vegetarian wife, Linda.
Yes. Yes, she was famously vegetarian. Yes. Well done.
Have you tried our sausages?
Yeah, I have. I've been that person at a barbecue that's seen like a tray of untouched sausages and being like, "Oh, why? Who's left these?" And I've had one. I've gone, "Oh, that's why."
Yeah, that's right. because it's tofu and carrots. Yeah.
They taste like shoes. I don't like them.
450-pound giants. Okay, the writing staff didn't expect to land Ringo Starr for this episode, so when they did, they extended his script, obviously to get the money's worth, effectively. Upon arriving and seeing how many more lines he'd had than his original script, Ringo Starr quoted to the staff that they'd written him a bloody novel.
Yeah, he's quite chilled, Ringo. Like, he was this, by the way, if you aren't interested in Beatles facts, I'd just turn this episode off now because it's going to be rammed with them. But he was like, he did a few films and stuff, and he was the one that like people said like, "Oh, he could actually be an actor in," which I don't know what they were basing it on, because I feel like in this episode he doesn't really give a good account of himself.
No, he doesn't. No. Al Jean and Mike Reiss originally pitched the idea of Marge taking an art class and churning out lots of depressing paintings because they wanted it to be the case where the family would realise by her art that she was secretly unhappy.
I mean, if you can't tell now, 2 seasons in, that Marge isn't happy, right, then you're not doing your job as a husband, Homer, really.
Well, this is this. I mean, Marge, I don't know, a lot of famous artists sort of kill themselves. I mean, let's go through a list. Van Gogh, Kurt Cobain.
Now, no, come on, you can sigh, but what I've said there is factually correct. The viewers need to know.
Keep the windows closed until she gets better. Tense the moment before. Chris, Reagan's mother, had now struggled to keep from laughing. Yes,
I'm
will.
I'm going to fucking burn that book. It's going to be like when Homer throws the Bill Cosby book in the fire.
Last fun fact you would place noise. This is the second guest appearance of John Levitz.
Yes, you know, I noticed he was back.
Yes, who was he then?
Can't keep away. He was Homer.
Yeah, he was John Lovitz, yeah.
He was Ringo Starr. He was the art teacher.
Yes, he was. Well
another
done, Anthony.
Triumph.
Anthony, would you like to get into the plot?
Yes, I would love nothing more.
Okay, we start by the Simpsons going somewhere. Homer takes quite a lot of convincing.
Hang on. The Simpsons going somewhere. Have you been on Wikipedia again? Is that what you've done? Have you watched the episode?
I've watched the episode, but I've also got me rundown of Wikipedia, yes. would you like to tell us where they go, Anth?
Do you know what? I realised as I was pulling you up there, I was like, shit, where do they go?
Because I was hoping you were going to go, will you take us to Mount Splashmore? Will you take us to Mount Splashmore?
Yes, that's it. Yes, that's it.
Hoping you were going to do, because you get that very famous meme of Homer because the park's forced to close as the rescue crew save Homer from the water slide that he's jammed himself in.
Oh yes, where they've got the panel of the slide and the air lifting them out. Ah, yes,
that's yes, a very famous in shitposting groups. That's a very famous meme.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of water parks. Me, you know, I've never really got the buzz.
Why? Is it the urinary tract infection?
Yeah, it's the fact that, you know, everyone in there is going to have just pissed themselves at some point. Right?
Not just piss, my friend.
You're essentially swimming in human piss and in some cases, damn shit, right? Damn dog shit. Like, you're going to get sunburned as well. I don't think I've ever been to a water park and not came away and not being sunburned.
Mm-hmm.
The queues as well. The queues for the fucking slides.
I can see what type of mood you've turned up in tonight, Anthony.
I'm not feeling great tonight, Dan, to be honest.
Oh, is that urine infection you've got off the water park?
Yeah.
And the fact you swallowed some of my poo.
I mean, it's never affected us before, but all right.
Oh, God.
To be honest, like, I say I've got a bad thing with water parks. My last experience of a water park was fairly recently in America, and I still went despite the fact that I had sunstroke. It was really not a good combination.
Just like face down in the lazy river. Is that man okay?
What's that bit on The Simpsons? I don't know whether you watch it, but where someone goes to like rescue someone who goes, "Leave him be, Billy. He knows what he's doing." No, that's it. It's when Homer's had the chili and he runs off in the distance.
Yeah,
and Ralph shouts
right
after him. Jasper goes, "Let him be, Ralph. He knows what he's doing."
That's it. Can you tell me who the guest star was in that episode?
Johnny Cash.
Well, John Anthony, yes, Johnny Cash. Homer's hallucinogenic fox.
Yeah. Apparently, we'll have forgotten this, so you can use this as a fun fact later down the line, but apparently Johnny Cash only agreed to appear if he didn't play a human. Coyote, then crack on.
Yes, I think I remember reading that, actually. You can be a talking coyote called Sue.
Ah, see what you did there. Hey.
Yeah. Oh, no, feel some blues. I don't like to know this. Right. Anyway, poor Homer. He's been convinced by his squirt and mouse splash more. Good for him. Being a good dad, and he gets stuck in the pipe because he's a big, fat, gelatinous blob. Because Homer has to be rescued, the news and the media are there to watch the rescue take place, and they begin to poke fun at Homer's massive size during the coverage of the mishap at the water park. This leads Homer to go into the loft to find his weights, because he's going to go on a weight loss journey. Now, what do Bart and Homer find in that loft, Anthony?
Photographs of Ringo Starr.
And why is that?
It's not photographs at all, it's paintings. I don't know why. And I also don't know why I sound like I was Liam Gallagher. Oh, Ken, somebody's moved all my paintings to Ringo.
Do you know why Marge had photos of Ringo? See, you're doing it to me now. Well done. Paintings of Ringo Starr.
Because she was madly in love with him in the 1960s.
Yes, she was. And poor Marge, she tells the family that she sent a painting to Ringo Starr for his, quote, honest opinion, but she didn't get a response back. Ever met a hero who you've been disappointed by, Anth?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I've met footballers, but I'm, like, notorious. Like, I hate the idea, because I'm a deeply, deeply cynical person. I hate giving people the satisfaction of being starstruck. So I feel like there's very few people I could meet in my life where I'd, like, audibly be starstruck. So I always try and play it down when I meet them. And I just come across as just really just surly and unapproachable when I meet them. So I've been to player of the year nights for, like, Sunderland and stuff, where all, like, the players have came in and you can get photos with them and meet them and greet them and stuff. And people have, like, do you remember Dean Whitehead?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Sunderland and Stoke fans will remember Dean Whitehead. But it got to a point where he was like, do you want a photo, mate? And I was just like, well, I mean, you can do, like, Dean, if you want one. Like, I was just so ungrateful. Like letting
Dean Whitehead know that you're put out that he wants a photograph.
Yeah. Like, get on then, Dean, be quick.
It's just Max Sharp, Dean, Max Sharp. I've met one or two famous people, not in any capacity other than, like, happen to bump into them, really. But I've got to say, there's none where I've ever come away and gone, well, he was a prick. It's never happened.
Yeah, no, I've never had, like, a bad experience. But I think because I've always heard that thing of, like, don't meet your heroes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Never, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In fact, I tell you who I did meet, and it was, again, football related. The Sunderland centre half, Nairon Nosworthy, when I was about 12 years old. And if you remember, Nairon was, like, a bit of a cult figure at Sunderland, wasn't he? Like, everyone loved a bit of Nairon, because he was, like, he was shit but good at the same time.
Yeah, he was.
And I always remember, it was, like, a half term, we were at school, and I remember my dad, like, ringing us and being like, Nairon's at the Stadium of Light, you want to get yourself down there? So I remember I got the bus down and that, waited for about 4 hours to meet him, and I was, like, third in the line. So when I went over, he was like, all right, big man, you've been waiting here long? And I was like, nah, not really, just about 4.5 hours. And he burst out laughing, and I was like, yes, I've made it. I've made my hero laugh.
You are a somebody.
Nobody ever laughed at me again.
No. Never
said. No, I tell a lie. They laughed at us. They laughed, but they didn't laugh. That's right. I'd said, yeah.
Exactly. Poor Marge, getting back to The Simpsons, if you don't
mind. Yeah, sorry.
Marge, she's convinced by Lisa to take an art class at Springfield Community College, where she paints Homer on the couch and earns fame and newspaper headlines. Marge, she's a bit of a sad case, isn't she, Marge? Because she does have this, like, phenomenal talent.
Yeah.
But she's give that up so she can raise a family. And I think that is very, it's a bit of an old cliche now, that, because there are people who are happy to give up work and raise a family. There's those people who would rather strive in the career and not have a family. But I think really there's room to do both.
Yeah, I think, like, now people do both. But I think back then it was very much like career or family. Which one do you want? Because it was like the core family value was like your wife stays at home and looks after the kids. And we touched on, like, I think it was the Way We Was episode where Homer meets Marge. We both commented that episode and mentioned how, like, sort of proactive Marge was. You know what I mean? She had all these talents, all these interests, and, like,
well, yeah, in Marge, I mean, she was in, like, the debate club, the politics, the feminist club. Like, obviously, we now discover that she can paint. Like, Marge has got a lot going on, but, like you say, she gave that up for family. Mr. Burns, upon learning about Marge's phenomenal talent, asks Marge to paint his portrait, and she agrees. I mean, Mr. Burns are right horrible in this episode.
The bit where he absolutely goes to town on Homer as well, when Homer's obviously proud of the fact he's lost like about 40 pounds. And yes, Mr. Burns like, you're the biggest thing I've ever seen.
That's so cruel. Isn't it? Like, so I've got the exact figures here. So Homer finds out he's lost 21 pounds, which is a stone and a half, right? So he now weighs 108 kilograms. Now, I weigh, like, I weigh about 102 kilograms. So I'm kind of looking and thinking, no. So
when you know what it is, though? I don't look at you and think, I don't know, it's just because I've known you like my whole life, basically. But I don't look at you and think, like, he's fat him. Like, I've never got that with you. No, that's meant to be a compliment. Sorry, that really wasn't meant to be as harsh as it came out. As I was, I was trying to comfort you, if anything.
You know what, Dan from Pod Pals, he's fat.
I was genuinely trying to say to you, mate, like, you're fine. You're not in the same league as Homer. Like, until you have to get mechanically removed from a water slide, mate. I think you're on easy straight line.
Yeah, I hope so, because I've been on that Peloton 5 times.
Dan, I keep telling you, you've got to switch it on.
Just watch the telly on it.
You sit on it in a deck chair eating McDonald's.
Yes, but so Burns, he's disparaging Homer, which is nasty. I mean, a stone and a half's not easy to lose, especially, I mean, Homer's 40, as we know. Like that's it's harder to lose weight as you get older, as our listeners will be aware, because we're all kind of in the same boat now, aren't we? Like, losing weight's very difficult. Marge is right here when she goes to throw Burns out, because you couldn't have somebody talking to your partner like that. So she was going to kind of chuck him out, but she receives a response from Ringo Starr to say, oh, yeah, I love your portrait of us. I've put it on my wall. And that obviously heavily encourages Marge.
I mean, it is quite possibly the greatest acting that I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. I hung it on my wall. We do have French fries in England. We call them chips. I tell you what I did love about this. I don't know whether it's meant to be intentionally funny, but I love how he signs every letter with P.S., forgive the lateness of my reply.
I tell you what's nice, though. He's got good manners. Very polite.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Again, another Beatles fact here for you. So obviously, the joke always is like, oh, Ringo is the drummer. Like, he's the shit one. But Ringo, in like the height of Beatlemania, he used to always get the most fan mail.
Why? The best looking or something?
No, to be honest, probably not. He was the drummer. He wasn't really that good looking, but I think people just liked how it's kind of like, remember how with us, I was always like the little cute one. Like, people didn't find us threatening. Oh boy, that's changed now.
I mean, I've just Googled Ringo Starr now, and he kind of looks like, do you remember that lunatic and I Am a Celebrity called David Guest, who was Michael Jackson's
friend?
He looks a little bit like him.
Little bit. Ah, it's a good shot. I never thought.
But it's the dyed black hair and the dyed beard and stuff.
Yeah. But no, but the thing is, he used to always get so like, they'd all get loads of fan mail, obviously. But like Ringo, and I think that's part of the joke, because like he genuinely is now still answering fan mail from the 60s, because he made it his thing. Like, he was like, I'm going to reply to everyone. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point on Twitter in like 2018 or something. Mm-hmm. He actually like put a video out on Twitter being like, look, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be responding to fan mail anymore. I can't do it anymore. Like, I'm 80. Like, give us a break.
Yeah. Just, I mean, fan mail. What's the best letter you've ever received?
Don't let me catch you looking through my bushes again, or I will be forced to take this to the police.
Would you like to know the best letter I've ever received?
I would love to.
Okay, so maybe so 2 years ago, I wrote a letter to the Queen, and now bear with us on this.
Nerd.
Yeah, so I was just sitting bored at work, and I thought, I wonder if I can get a response. So I Googled it, and if you write to Her Majesty the Queen, she'll only respond to letters that sort of pique our interest, etc., etc. So I thought, well, there's no chance. She'll get like thousands a day, probably. So I sent it off, didn't think anything more about it. I came in from work about 6 weeks later, and I seen a letter sort of sitting on the doorstep. And it had a stamp of Balmoral Castle on. I was like, what on earth? So I've shouted with Mrs. I was says, hey, I've got a letter from the Queen. She went, don't be so ridiculous, what are you talking about? And opened it up, and it was sort of a response to the letter, dictated by her, I don't know what the proper term is, a handmaiden, something like that, like a personal assistant to the Queen, effectively. Said, I read your letter to Her Majesty, and she was most grateful to hear this, that, and the other. And I got like a signed sort of thing with a picture of the Queen in and stuff, and blah, blah, blah. So I do still have that put away as like a fond memory, so like a stamped letter. It's all in gold leaf and stuff, Balmoral Castle. And that was literally 2 weeks before she died.
P.S. Forgive the lateness of my reply.
Some would
say, Dan, seeing a letter addressed from you was enough to finish her off.
Between me and the Liz Truss government.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly Liz Truss. I'm gonna let you off. I think it was mostly down to her.
Oh, I'll tell you. Speaking of sort of failure, when Marge...
Back to the podcast.
Marge, obviously, she's now annoyed at Burns at this point when she's doing his portrait, but... She's also caught Burns getting out the shower and seeing like he's sort of dilapidated old body, and I mean, he doesn't look great, does he? Talk about
why,
me.
Why is he getting changed in her house? Like,
well, I thought it's. Would you imagine going to somebody's house just for an appointment? Oh yeah, like I do meditation with this person, or yeah, we build bird houses together. Oh, can I have a shower, please, mate? Like, can't wait till you get up. No, I've got to have a shower in your house, in your bathroom.
Actually, no, because I've soiled myself, so I really need
Which towel do you use? No, I don't need a fresh one. So, when we get to sort of the big unveil of the portrait of Mr. Burns, Marge is painted, we see the naked, frail, weak Burns in the museum wing. Much to Mr. Burns's and the crowd's shock, obviously, she explains that the portrait shows behind all of Burns's evil. He is a frail and vulnerable human being who, by the extension, is just as beautiful as any other living creature in the world. Can you think of things that are ugly but would still be regarded as beautiful? Is that such a thing? Is that just too philosophical for you or what?
I don't know. Like, what do you mean?
So, Marge is saying that. Well, Mr.
like an inner beauty, like what's
if you like
beautiful from like I don't know, like
if you like.
I've never looked at a photo of Donald Trump and gone, oh, bless him. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
So, let's get philosophical here for a second. Let's say when the autumn leaves start to fall and they get crispy and stuff, I would always say in my teenage angst, because it used to impress girls, I would say, hey, how can death be so beautiful? And they just go, wow, he's so deep and brooding.
As they fucking press the panic button.
I mean, no, there was no panic button. There was 3 inches of plexiglass between us.
No, stuff like that, yeah. But I'll tell you what always impresses girls, Dan, right? And a little tip for any listener, right?
Mm.
If you tell them, right, if ever they say, like, if you could live in one place, like... If
big,
you
cocks. Live, if... Big cocks. Big cocks. Big cocks.
If you could live in a place from a film... like a fictional place, where would you live? I tell you now, if you say the cottage from The Holiday, wow, that just knocks them bandy. That does. That knocks them bandy. Like putting your hands down.
My sort of question when I'm trying to spark conversation is, let's say you've won the lottery, right? You've won 200 million. Now you've looked after your family, you've given money to charity, etc. What is the one purchase that is purely for Anth? You're going to spoil yourself. Nobody else gets to see it. This is Anthony's present to himself. What would you be getting?
Well, probably just go and buy a nice leather jacket, I would have thought.
You wouldn't have enough money left over, man.
That's it. No, do you know what I've always said I would like do if I won the lottery?
Mm-hmm.
If I won like 200 million, I would buy a footballer for like 34 million and just let him do jobs around my house.
Contract.
Yeah. I'd have like Harry Maguire just cut me grass or something.
You've gone on a 5-year deal at 60 grand a week. That's funny. For me, it would be a yacht. I think the idea of like owning a super yacht and going around the world, that is like, that to me is the best life could possibly get. I don't really see how it could be any better.
I think that would be good. Like that, because that to me, it's like, it just, it screams like, prick.
Affluence.
No, not prick. Yeah, that was the word I was actually looking for, yeah. Like,
decadence.
Status, that's it. Status, decadence, yeah, call it what you want.
So. I suppose so. Mr. Burns certainly has that. All the money in the world he's got, and he's still being embarrassed at the museum wing. However, he does recognise that.
I mean, that's
that.
The thing, Dan. That's what you've got to think. I mean, even if you did have the world's nicest super yacht, your cock would always be tiny. So
that's right. And, you know, and we've all got our burns, and that is mine. That is mine. But at least I don't have 9-inch foreskin. What would be worse?
Okay, so that is a question for the viewers. Please respond by next week's episode.
Look, we'll go back to Marge's sort of soliloquy about how beautiful even ugly things are. And with that in mind, the crowd then praise Marge's portrait and say how wonderful it is. Even Mr. Burns declares that he is impressed. And he thanks Marge for a job well done. Very bold of Marge, but obviously exactly what Mr. Burns deserved. And Marge gets a little bit of accolade, and that's where the episode closes out. It's a belter, that one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It absolutely class. I think it's when I think of season two, there's like, this is the one. There's this one. There's the Danny DeVito one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Mr. Bergstrom, Dustin Hoffman one that's coming up. They're I'm like, they are the three best ones. Oh, see, no, I don't know, because Lance Murdoch, and oh, there's so many good ones. Let's see, just do this season again, right? Because there's some better really when you think.
Yeah, forever. That's all Pop Pals will be now, since the unpleasantness.
The purge.
Actually, Lisa's substitutes next week, funny enough. So.
Is it? Oh,
mm-hmm. Well, good old Dustin Hoffman.
Why don't we, instead of just doing that episode, but to keep with the Dustin Hoffman thing, why don't we just watch Meet the Fockers and review that?
Oh, such a good film, isn't it?
Brilliant. Such easily his best movie. Ever film. Don't care what you say. not for me.
Nah, not Rain Man.
Nah. Nah.
Did you know when Dustin Hoffman was prepping for Rain Man, he lived in sort of a home where autistic people were for months beforehand, so he would like, because he's a method actor, so
yeah.
Which is admirable, actually.
Yeah, so a mad thing about that, the guy who is like the real life Rain Man,
uh-huh.
he was one of the people that Dustin Hoffman lived with in that facility. And the bit where Tom Cruise first drives up to like the facility and he asks like for directions to the car park, the guy who he asks, who then like blanks him and walks away, that's the real life Rain Man.
Is that right, Anthony?
Yes, you see. You're not the only one with fun facts in this town, lad.
Interesting. It's very, very interesting. Did you know Saturn's moon's called Galileo? I don't know if that's relevant.
I mean, it's about as relevant as what I've just said, so I mean, fair play.
Or 14 minutes of The Exorcist at the beginning of the episode.
Jesus Christ.
So I like the episode personally, Anthony. It's a very good one. Obviously, it's always nice to get like this. Isn't it mad, though, that The Simpsons, like, they're in season two and like they're getting some of the biggest names in the whole of the world to be guest stars? Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. I mean, like you say, I know we joked earlier on about Ringo Starr being in like the Thomas the Tank Engine one. He was the voice of Thomas for years.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you probably won't get it as much as me because like you don't like music. But the Beatles, honestly, and like I'm not just saying this as like a super fan, but like to get a Beatle was like massive, especially back then.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Exactly. I mean, imagine how well they'd done if they're getting Lennon.
We know why they didn't, but
because you were at that hotel lobby, that's why they couldn't get John Lennon. I don't know anything about the Beatles, granted, but I do know John Lennon was shot in like a New York hotel lobby, something like that.
Yeah, and the weird thing is the last ever photograph of him ever taken is him signing an album for the guy who shoots him.
It's balmy. How sad. Why did he do it? Just because of Catcher in the Rye?
He was fucking just a nutcase, and he basically wanted John Lennon's fame and was like, how can I be as famous as John Lennon? I know, I'll be the man to kill him. Because like you've hit the nail on the head there. Like you don't know anything about the Beatles, but you know that John Lennon was murdered. So in a way, he's got what he wanted, basically.
Yeah, good for him. We should all start murdering people.
Yeah, anyone you don't like. I never liked the look of that Milhouse kid.
That little wiener Milhouse.
As he could veer off to the left.
No, no more murder. Yeah, good episode, Anthony. Now, before we do close out, you've got two choices. one is I can continue to read from The Exorcist. No. Or we can go to Mount Splashmore.
Exorcist, please.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us yet again for another episode of Pod Pals. Next week, we are reviewing the one with Mr. Bertram. What's it called, Ant? See who can get a first.
Lisa's Substitute.
Ah, piss off, you got there first. Yes, it is. Lisa's Substitute. In the meantime, you can contact the show at podpalspodcasts@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that stuff. And we have signed up to buy us a coffee. You can go on there and donate to the show if you want to. It goes towards the cost of running the actual show. It's entirely up to you. Give as much or as little as you want. I mean, not as much as you want. Don't be like putting your mortgage in there or anything like that.
Yeah, come on, like financially responsible lads, are we?
Yeah, sorry. I mean, if for the right price, I can come round your house and read you The Exorcist as you drip off the
seat. Dan does cameos, but he only reads like famous horror novels.
I do kids' parties, but just standing sitting on a stool reading The Exorcist. So buy us a coffee /podpalspodcast if you want. Me and Ant aren't that bothered, but you know, you do you. Don't really care. In the meantime, don't do anything we wouldn't do, which admittedly is very little. And we will see you all next week.
Forgive the lateness of my reply.
I hung it on me wall.
Yeah.
Are we still recording, mate? I'm listening to
I mean, no, they've gone. They left about 2.5 minutes in, but we're still in.